You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 9 December. We had Chinese year-on-year inflation earlier, 0.2% versus an expected 0.5%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Chantal Marks, FNB Wealth and Investments. Clothing retailers, a really good year. The laggers are up 50%. The winners up 100%. Is there any value left? We're going to be chatting around stable coins with Regional Manager of Yellow Card South Africa and Dr. Frank Mogwegwe, executive at Nedbank. Two-part. What's interesting? Doing right or what we're doing wrong. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. V&A Waterfront's bold plan for Granger Bay applied to the city of Cape Town for planning approvals for an additional 315,000 square meters of bulk. I think they're planning to push the ocean back. Business Day, Astral Foods skeptical about VAT exemptions on chicken. Revenue losses for SARS likely to hinder any progress, says poultry producer. Morning markets, US was green on Friday, S&P up 0.25%, NASDAQ is 0.9% higher. Over in the East, it is mixed. We've got Sydney a couple of points higher, 0.03%, Tokyo up 0.25%, Hong Kong down 0.75%, and Tencent off 0.8%. Commodities mostly red, gold the exception, $2,663 an ounce, Brent 71.38, platinum 9.37, palladium 9.72. Rand is 18.04, Bitcoin is 99,200, and top 40 opening call 30 points to the red. What's that? 0.04% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning time. A clothing retailer certainly had a year, excluding dividends over 12 months. We got Mr. Price up, what, 105%, Fashini 62%, Pep almost 58%, True is 50% higher. On the surface, massive returns for a single year. The price earnings perhaps not so bad. I mean, your take on whether there's any value left here after these giant runs?
Yeah, so we have to remember that the base was very depressed. Mm. So these clothing retailers were extremely cheap at the start of the year, and particularly if you went back a few months into 2023 as well. So when we look at valuations right now, they are looking expensive. But I think in the context of where they came from, it actually isn't too bad. And if you compare them to international retailers, they don't look that expensive either. And then I'd want to quantify one thing. Mm. Expectations for earnings growth has been upgraded, but very, 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 very little since the election. And meanwhile, we've seen macroeconomists upgrading their growth forecast to around about the 2% mark for next year, the year thereafter, and the year thereafter. So I don't think that that corresponds well. I think we still have earnings upgrades to come. And I've been looking at sales in particular, and the sales growth for these retailers are anything between 6% and 9% forecast currently. But if I just look at GDP next year plus CPI plus credit extension plus very, very limited space growth, I already get to 10%. So I think there are upgrades to come, yeah.
And to your point, we saw some updates. I think it was Mr. Price, it was Pep. They were to end of September, and they both commented that the post-September period end, i.e. October and the like, which is, of course, two-pot money, was much stronger. So those forward PEs, what, sub-20 on Mr. Price, around 15 on Fashini, got a lot of space.
Yes, I also think they have a lot of space. I think if we get some decent sales growth upgrades, which I think should still come through, that operating leverage then filters through to the, or results in it filtering through to the bottom line. And you easily get to very comfortable high teens growth in earnings over the next 3 years. And then a PE of 14 doesn't look too bad, or 18 for Mr. Price doesn't look too bad. What I would say, though, is that I think from a technical perspective, you do have these companies being overbought currently, and they have run very hard. So perhaps the right approach, if you're a holder, is to take some profit off the table and perhaps get in at lower levels. And perhaps if you are not a holder, you can wait a little bit and see if you can get a better entry point. But I'm not too concerned around these expensive looking valuations, because I don't think they actually factor in what we're going to see over the next 3 years yet.
And a quick last point. I mean, by all accounts, the foreigners aren't yet buying our market much. And I know Costco is not a clothing retailer, but they're happy to buy Costco in a PE of 50. They're going to look at these and think they're dirt cheap.
Absolutely. And the foreign investors traditionally, I mean, they haven't been around for a very long time, right? Yeah. But back in the day, they really liked the retailers. So they liked the drug retailers, specifically Clicks. At that time, it was the only listed one. They'll love Dis-Chem as well. And they really liked the clothing retailers, particularly the kind of higher quality names, which would be Mr. Price and the Fushini Group. One of those companies, though, that I'm really thinking is very interesting right now is Pepkor. I think the cross-sell opportunity in their credit offering is completely underrated at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, some interesting times ahead.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a fun 2025. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning time. That's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. After a great year, and it has been a great year. Your lag is up 50%. Is there still value in these clothing retailers? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Mark McGuire. He's regional manager, Yellow Card South Africa. Mark, appreciate the early morning time. When we're talking crypto and we're talking stable coins, are they simply a stable coin is literally just a crypto coin that tracks the US dollar? And I think it's exclusively the US dollar. I'm not sure we have tracking any others such as the euro. So it's a crypto that tracks the dollar.
Morning, Simon. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, I mean, so as you said, I mean, by the definition, stablecoin is a asset of crypto, a type of cryptocurrency that essentially is pegged to pegs its price to a currency. So dollar, of course, the dollar is the most popular. The biggest stablecoin in the world is USDT, USD Tether. However, there are actually stablecoins that track the euro. There are stablecoins that track commodities such as gold. So essentially, it just pegs itself to a stable asset. Yeah.
And in a recent note you put out, you make the point that they're gaining popularity locally in South Africa and I suspect across the rest of the continent as well.
Absolutely. I mean, if you start by looking globally, stablecoins saw $8.5 trillion in transactions in Q2 of 2024. That's double what Visa's network did. And on the continent, in South Africa specifically, if we go there, where stablecoins have seen 50% month-on-month growth for the last year. And I mean, put simply, this is because they're solving real world problems on the African continent. I mean, by virtue of its stability, stablecoins offer somewhere for businesses and individuals to put their value, so it doesn't to protect it from depreciating local currencies, from inflation. And I'd say the second area where stablecoins are really solving big problems is with international payments. Stablecoins allow businesses and individuals to move money across borders at a fraction of the cost. And then, you know, we see remittance costs on the continent being as high as 10, 20% in some instances. So they're solving problems.
They are, and I particularly, I mean, and they're both real sort of problems. And you know, I sit here in Johannesburg, South Africa, and truthfully, I can buy some dollars quite easily. But for many folks, not just, you know, beyond South Africa, even within South Africa, but across the continent, it is perhaps not so simple to go and buy dollars. This is an easy, elegant way to do it.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think the buzzword that we're talking about here is financial inclusion, right?
Yeah.
I was speaking to a friend the other day, and I introduced him to the Yellow Quad platform and how to use the product. And he said, it's like having a USD account in my phone. And that's just it. It's going to bring a lot of people into the financial formal financial market, and that's fantastic. I mean, if you look at the age of our African population, you know, talking about 60% of the continent under the age of 25, you pair that with the growing access of smartphones. I think we're sitting at about 50% penetration, but in 7 or 8 years, that's going to be closer to 90%. And network accessibility is getting better. 4G, 5G, you've got Elon Musk with Starlink. So you put all this together, and I think stable coins and crypto more broadly are really set to revolutionize financial inclusion on the African continent.
And of course, in payments, I mean, we've got M-Pesa, which is the poster child for payments. We've got the mobile operators all trying to get into it. But I suppose the key point with it is, you know, M-Pesa is great, sort of, it's almost regional. It's not going to, I can't pay someone in Kenya via M-Pesa, but I can with a USDT, for example. It's borderless.
Exactly. It's borderless. It's instant, and it's at the fraction of the cost. Now, I mean, the blocker, I suppose, is in the regulatory area, and Yellow Card is recently, we've recently gotten our CASP license here in South Africa, so we're a licensed FSP, and that's exciting because it brings a level of security, trust, understanding when our retail and institutional clients are considering working with us. So we really want to see the same happening across the continent. We're also licensed in Botswana, and we're in a number of regulatory sandboxes elsewhere. But it's the sooner the majority of regulators across the continent do the same as what South Africa and some other markets have done in regulating the space, we're really going to see an explosion in popularity and usage of these assets.
Yeah, and crypto certainly is embracing the regulation. It's well needed. It's well positioned. We'll leave it there. That's Mark Mugoe, Regional Manager, Yellow Card South Africa. Appreciate the early morning. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Dr. Frank Mugwegwe. He's Executive Financial Wellness and Advisory at Nedbank. Frank, appreciate the time today. Last numbers out from SARS, some 35 billion rand taken out from the new two-pot withdrawal system. It is tough out there being a South African consumer. 35 billion, a big number. But this is going to, in the short term, it helps. But in the long term, it's going to hurt people because this is retirement money.
Thank you for this opportunity to talk to you on such an important topic. You know, when I saw that number, I nearly fell off my chair because we had been talking about what possibly could be the end number. And I know, Simon, when, for example, the Reserve Bank came with what some people believed was crazy when they said they expect about 80 billion during the first year. APSA was around 78 billion. Then the rest of us, the net banks and other players, we were much conservative in our numbers. To think we started seeing these withdrawals on 1 September, and we September, October, November, 3 months, it's staggering. And so what it tells us, without a doubt, is how the consumer is under a lot of pressure with regards to just cost of living, if I can say that broadly, whether it's paying my debt, whether it's school fees, whether it's food, transport. And so you're right that in the short term, it is a mechanism to allow working South Africans to have access to their money. But in the long term, without education, this has an impact on preparedness for retirement when that time eventually comes.
And that's just it. I mean, I appreciate, and no one denies the hardship that South African consumers are under at this point, but this is basically taking from your retirement. Are there other, someone suggested to me, what about personal loans as an alternative?
Yes.
Is that a viable option? I mean,
absolutely, Simon. Yes. So in fact, as Nedbank, here's what we are saying, and a lot of our other financial services players are also saying that. Mm-hmm. We are saying this, Simon, as a last resort, consider your money in the two-pot system, in other words, in the savings pot. Last resort. Why? For two simple reasons. Number one, SARS is taxing you at your marginal rate. That makes it very expensive to access that money. That's the first reason. Mm. The other reason, Simon, is, and you hinted on it at the beginning, by withdrawing, that money no longer has the opportunity to grow for you and be used at retirement. For those two reasons, we're simply saying this must be a last resort. And so if you consider the cost via tax at the marginal rate versus accessing a loan, it's more affordable to access a loan. But of course, the flip side of it is already South Africans are indebted, and they're saying,
yeah,
the fact that I'm going to access this money, I can't get the loan. I would have gone there myself, So we're really saying, if you can get a loan, that is the cheaper option for the reason that I've just stated. If not, please just know you're using it as a last resort, and you are consuming your future for present financial stress.
Yeah, and I suppose it depends. I mean, if you're going on holiday with it, terrible idea. If you're paying down debt, less bad of an idea. Hey, look, we all want a holiday. Don't get me wrong, but
yes.
But is there? I mean, the two. This came out of the pandemic. We've been talking about it as a country for some time now. Has there been enough work done around, I don't know, education, understanding? To your point around being the tax rate and the impact on our retirement.
This, I'm happy as part of Nedbank and other players in the financial services system. No. For me, it's a resounding no. Why? Mm. Because we are still, Simon, getting individuals who are shocked that they are taxed. They didn't realize that this money that I'm accepting, I am not going to get the 20,000 that I have applied for. So that is unbelievable, given the build up to that. So that's one evidence of that. The other one, we're still getting people, Simon, who think it's compulsory to get the money. If I don't, someone is going to get it. So there's still a lot of rumors. But the fact of the matter is, you should not get the money if you don't need it. The government is not going to take it away. It's growing for you. It's waiting for you to use during retirement. And the reason why I think, Simon, those messages, whilst they were there, haven't landed well, and we still have this gap in knowledge, I think they were very much focused on the technical aspect. Wait a minute, the tax rate is going to be high. Wait a minute, they were approaching the intellectual, but we know when it comes to this, it's my money, everyone is getting it. So the emotional side perhaps was not adequately addressed in the campaigns that we saw. But we are starting to see more of that coming. For example, what you use, Simon, the idea of, but guys, do you know this is consumption for what you would have used for retirement? Be careful. That's more an emotional message as opposed to an intellectual message. I think we need more of those.
I take your point. Some more emotional. The other side of the coin is that, yes, there's been a lot of withdrawal at this point, but pre this system, people would, they would quit their job in order to access the money. And it limits it. Do you concur that over sort of in the decades ahead, this will be a better system than what we had before, where you could retire your job, pay the tax, and take it all out?
Without a doubt. For us, we're saying as Nedbank, this is one of the unsung parts of retirement reform. Mm. We have focused a lot as consumers in the industry on getting this money because I've got emergencies. What we haven't zeroed on enough, and again, to your point earlier, Sam, we need more education on it, is in the long term. This is a fantastic system. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Because it means when you change your job, you're no longer able to get the two-thirds that you are getting by cashing in 100% of your retirement savings. And I've seen projections from various financial services providers that are essentially saying someone joining the system now, they are 25, they put away their money for for 40 years. And some estimations are saying, if you compare the old system and now, that person would have anywhere between 50 to 70% more in retirement savings than in the past system. So that is indeed a huge positive. We should talk more about that as well.
Yeah, I take your point on that. And yeah, using that longevity of time as well, always massively in your favor. We'll leave it there. That's Dr. Frank Mugwegwe, Executive
Thank you, Simon.
Financial Wealth Advisory, Nedbank. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. I was chatting with Martin Ackerman on Friday. He, of course, chief economist at Citadel. And he is expecting global growth to slow for the next couple of years. We asked you your expectations. Over half said average at best. The rest was split evenly between should be great and worried. Very worried. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Value in SA Inc.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.